You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Hello, friends, and welcome. I feel like I have to use my golf voice today, Mark Dukes. Good afternoon, everyone. There it is. I just interrupted it. I just got taken down by security people. Welcome in to the Gym Class for a Thursday here on 1600 ESPN. Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Great to have you aboard at 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Scott Unash with you, Mark Dukes across the table, and Andrew on the other side of the glass here today on a Thursday here in Eastern Iowa. Masters is underway. Spring is in the air, and we got a good show coming up for you. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us one last time, and we will talk and wrap up the college basketball season, look back at the national championship game, and look into the crystal ball a little bit and see what's in the offing as well as we can in this era of the transfer portal and NIL, et cetera, et cetera. So we will do that with the coach, courtesy of Chris Shooter Lehman from Edge Realty Group down in Iowa City. We will do that coming up in just a little bit. We will talk about the first round of the Masters and other things going on in the sports world here today. Welcome your input, 319-366-1600. That is the text line, 319-366-1600. And that's the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone, call, talk to Andrew. That's also 319-366-1600. Coming your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Happy Masters Thursday.
You as well, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Andrew and everyone out there. And for the two of us anyway, and many more, I think, it's a cool week. I wish the Masters was 8 rounds long, but make it more interesting. But it is Masters week, and first round underway. We'll bring you up to date on that, some observations. And speaking of that, I think Kevin Lehman, based on our a text with him today, he's got some interesting observations, not only about the championship game, but what might lie ahead in college basketball. Be interesting. And you've got a question for him, I know.
Oh, yeah. I've got theories. Maybe, you know, we'll touch upon that today and maybe even talk a little bit about those theories, maybe even tomorrow. We'll see. We'll see. We got time. We got time right now. 319-366-1600. Hi, Andrew. Good afternoon. How are things on the other side of the glass?
They're pretty good. Pretty good.
Excellent. Enjoying. Mm-hmm. You're not a golf guy, are you?
Mm-mm.
No. Mm-mm. But there are, as Mark alluded to, there are a lot of people that aren't golf people, per se, that do follow the Masters. This is kind of the one event, since it's held in the same city, the same spot, the same sport arena, if you will, each and every year, I think people get behind it a little bit more. The traditions, et cetera, et cetera.
The one I did watch, this was maybe when I was in like high school, was when Zach Johnson won the Masters.
There you
go. That's the one I did watch.
And we'll update you on Zach. Coming up, he went out early on a Thursday. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on the Gym Class. Thank you, CDG, for joining us today. Do appreciate it. And right now, Justin Rose is your leader in day one, on day one of the Masters. He is 6 under. He just had a chance to go to 7, Mark. Missed a 5-footer on 13 for birdie and ended up making par there. So he is at 6 under par. And yeah, Justin Rose is a tough course, tough tournament player. He's won a U.S. Open, has come close many, many other times to majors, but he's just a guy that seemingly is always there in big tournaments.
Somewhat ageless, too. He's 44 years old and still has a swing of a guy 20 years his junior. He's just a gritty player, very good player, internationally seasoned, has won on the big stage, and wouldn't I be surprised to see him continue to play well. Whether he wins it or not remains to be seen, obviously, but everybody looks forward to the Masters, I think, Scott, and I do, you do. Everybody that watches looks forward to it, gets up, checks the leaderboard. I mean, 8:45 this morning, two Iowans were leading the Masters.
Yes.
but that tells you everything you know and need to know. Things change so much. The guys on the leaderboard today, some will not be there on the weekend. Guys that aren't on the leaderboard may have a 65 tomorrow and get back into contention. This is the way it goes in golf. This is the way it goes at Augusta. And, you know, there's so much yet to be determined, but you want to get off to a good start. Rose has gotten off to a good start. Scotty Scheffler has gotten off to a good start. Rory McIlroy has gotten off to a good start. So it's going to be a fun weekend.
You mentioned Iowans leading, as Cyclone Tim puts it. Zach had the lead after six holes today. He and Noah Kent was up there as well. Now, it didn't end well for the amateur, the former Hawkeye Noah Kent, but amateurs, it's tough. That's a tough examination of golf. But Zach held his own today.
He did. Yeah, Tim's right. 8:45 this morning, you turn it on and on your computer, whatever, your app, and Zach Johnson and Noah Kent leading the Masters so early in the morning.
That was pretty cool.
Well, take a snapshot like you took a snapshot of your White Sox leading the Central about a week ago. But Zach finished at even par 72, and this is his 21st Masters. Of course, he won it. And a couple other top tens, but it's been few and far between in recent years. He's 49, but he birdied his last two holes, nearly birdied 16 as well, and kind of rescued a round. I mean, a couple over wouldn't have been so bad, but even par, I think there's, 20-some players under par right now, so it was a good first day. Noah Kent had a good first nine. He was even after nine. He is the former Iowa Hawkeye who transferred to Florida, got into this tournament, finishing second in the U.S. Amateur. Good front nine, seven over on the back. You kind of maybe didn't expect it, but this is what happens to first-timers.
Yeah, right now 29 are under par of the 95 that have teed it up today at Augusta National, and of the 29, you've got 16 of those at one under par right now. So you kind of throw those out a little bit. So two under and above, you only have 13 of the 95. So, and I think today was going to be the day the course was gettable. Some flag positions that were gettable today. The wind is not up in a big way. Soft golf course. This is going to be the softest it's going to be the entire run of the tournament. So right now, Rose at six is looking pretty good. He's still got a few holes to go. He's got to play 14 through 18 as he's getting ready to tee off here on the 14th. And we'll get an update from Augusta National with Westwood One coming up in just a little bit. But I thought scores would be lower today, to be honest with you. I thought we'd see maybe half the field, 35-40, go under par. Hey, as folks of the senior generation, Mark, a big shout out to 1992 champion Freddie Couples, the 62-year-old with a one under par 71 today, and that included an eagle on the par 4 14th. Where he hit it in from the fairway. And also a shout out to, in his last event at Augusta National, that would be the German and former two-time champion Bernhard Langer, who had it going on the front nine, ended up at age, 67, I want to say, with a two over par 74 today. was under par for a good portion of his first round today before losing it a little bit at the end, but pretty good by those two guys to be within shouting distance.
Especially Couples, for so long he has been very at home at Augusta National, a former champion, and he's contended for a couple, 3 decades now in various tournaments. So not surprising necessarily to see him play well, but Longer is, he played with Noah Kent today, and what a treat for Kent that would be to see Longer, especially tomorrow when Longer, maybe he'll make the cut.
He might. I don't know.
We'll see. But certainly an honor for Kent to play in that group. And, hey, 2 under on a 7,500-yard course that he hits his driver 265 now. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Him and Freddie were hybriding it all over the place today. Matt Fairfax says, I don't golf. I don't watch it either. But always watches Masters Sunday for the pageantry and the drama. And I think a lot of people are kind of that way. They try to make the U.S. Open into the people's tournament. I think this is more of the people's tournament, to be honest with you. This is the one that gets the majority of the viewership throughout the year is Augusta National. You see the holes each and every year. You know the holes, even if you're not a big-time golfer. It is different this year, though. I will say that. In fact, I talked to somebody that was on the grounds Monday, a friend of ours, Mark, and he said, yeah, it's different this year. You can tell there are trees that are missing after the hurricane went through Augusta, Georgia, and after it made landfall. Not quite as thick, and you can see it on the broadcast, too, where you usually have seen shadows in the past. You are seeing less shadows and maybe not even some shadows in some instances. So it is a little bit different this year.
Yeah, our friend that was there on Monday, probably looking at the screen now at sunny skies and ruining the fact that
he said he got 2 hours in.
He got 2 hours in. More 2 hours more than I have. But in terms of viewership, I think, listen, golf's not for everyone. I understand that. But the Masters is different. Much like a non-auto racing fan or an auto racing fan watches the Indy 500 or the Daytona 500. Nobody pays attention to horse racing much until the Triple Crown, Kentucky Derby coming up before long. Hello, Barry.
Our friend Barry.
You know what I mean? I mean, I think that's what it is. And then when you have players like Scheffler and McIlroy and maybe DeChambeau and Rose and others up there, maybe a long shot will pop up for the weekend, somebody you didn't expect. I think it all adds up to, and just looking at the place, I can't imagine a more beautiful place around. But put that all together, and I think that's the intrigue in the Masters for even people that don't follow golf that much.
I would agree. 319-366-1600. We'll get you a Masters update coming up toward the bottom of the hour before we talk with Kevin Lehman. Justin Rose, your leader at -6. The Canadian, Corey Connors, along with Scotty Scheffler, the defending champion, Tyrrell Hatton. They are in the clubhouse. Connors and Scheffler tied for second at 4 under par. Tyrrell Hatton, along with Rory McIlroy on the course. Rory is playing 11 right now. They are at 3 under par. The Englishman, Aaron Rye, and Harris English, the Georgia Bulldog at -2. Jason Day, Denny McCarthy, Hideki Matsuyama, the winner from 2021, is at -2. Bryson DeChambeau and Shane Lowry also at -2 right now. We mentioned Freddie Couples at -1, Bubba Watson, Tom Hoagie, Patrick Cantlay, Matt Fitzpatrick, Wyndham Clark all at -1. Zach Johnson at even. Colin Morikawa ended up, he was at 3 under at one point, tied for the lead, ended up at even par 72 today. Great to see everybody out there playing, whether you are a proponent of the fact that the LIV golfers should be there or if they should not be there, whatever side of the fence you are on. It's good to see the best of the best out there. There are 95 players. It is the smallest major field, always has been. But it is, it's good to see the John Rahms and the Brooks Koepkas and the Bryson DeChambeaus competing at the Masters and with the rest of the PGA players that we come to know.
Exactly, and I think this is what a lot of people want, the live players to get with the PGA Tour players more and more and more, and you don't see it that often. The Masters is arguably not the strongest field of the year. I mean, it's 50 fewer players than what would be in a normal PGA Tour event, including some of the signature events. But in this one, you've got the live players together. You got the best amateurs together. You got former champions, and you got the best players in the world. So it's a good combination.
Freddie's 65. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to make him younger than he is. He's 65.
When you're in your 60s, 60-year-olds appreciate that.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. We're going to get you to an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update coming up as we get toward the bottom of the hour. And, yes, Tim is still trying to wrap his head around $6 beers at Augusta. That actually went up maybe a dollar from the last time I looked. Still, $6, not too bad right there. Did want to mention this before we get to your scoreboard update, Mark, and that is the fact that the National Football League, of course, we're a couple of weeks away from the draft in Green Bay at Lambeau Field. It will go off 2 weeks from tonight. We'll have the first round and the second round for you here on 1600 ESPN. Kind of an unprecedented move today by the National Football League. It is an unprecedented move. And it's something that I wonder if this is going to take off. It makes me think, and wanted to get the opinion of our listeners to this. The NFL today, they did not dismiss three officials. They relegated three officials.
Hello, soccer.
They relegated three officials to college football. Now, that brings up a whole different point with me. But umpire James Carter, line judge Robin DiLorenzo, and down judge Robert Richeson were all relegated back to college football. There is a system that they go through, and it's a data analysis evaluation of officials to look at improvement over the course of the season and making their officiating better. So they are going to hone their skills in college football. Now, a couple questions come to mind for me. Number one, are the college football folks going to be happy that, okay, this official stunk in the NFL apparently, and now they're down here making somewhat important calls for my team? I'm thinking that is number one. And number two, should we be doing this for other sports? Thoughts? I'd love to hear from you. 319-366-1600.
Wait, you can't have a bad year anymore?
Well, apparently
not.
I mean,
one of these guys, one of them's a rookie, so he's not eligible for certain things in the officiating business. But one of the officials was an alternate in a playoff game. If he was so bad, how'd he qualify for that?
That's a good question.
So these guys are eligible to work in Power Four conferences.
One's a woman, by the way.
Yeah, true. I'm sorry. May see them at Kinnick Stadium or Jack Trice Stadium. I don't know.
I'm not sure what college conference they're going to be working in.
They're going to be working in Power Four conferences.
It's going to be in Power Four, but it could be Big Ten, ACC, whatever the case may be. It could be at Kinnick Stadium. You never know.
Yeah.
Or Jack Trice Stadium or whatever the case may be. But, you know, for many, many years, we'll take baseball for an example. There were so many years that I think it still goes because we've had many run-ins with Angel Hernandez over the years before his departure from the major leagues and others. There have been some bad umpires, but once you got to the major leagues, especially with the umpires union, you were there for perpetuity. Maybe this is a new way to look at it here. Maybe Major League Baseball should take this into consideration. Should the NBA take this into consideration?
Should college basketball take this under consideration? And if you relegate college basketball officials, what do you relegate them to? We hear a lot of complaints about college basketball, men's and women's officiating throughout the year. You're out there. We're here. We've complained about it. But if you apply that to college basketball, again, what do you relegate them to?
Ann wins the text of the day because she says the lowest of the basketball officials obviously go to women's basketball.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. 319-366-1600. Just curious on your viewpoints out there. Should this be a thing? If you don't do well with your job, you're not going to keep your job, right? I mean, that makes sense.
In most cases, yes.
In most cases, yes, I guess. So why should it be different if you're an umpire or a referee?
These officials, correct me if I'm wrong, they have an opportunity to work themselves back to the league. Is that correct? I think there's a program that you can work your way back. I don't know how all that works, but I think that'd be good. I mean, if you're in your first, second year, are you expected to be a Super Bowl quality official?
No.
Probably not.
Probably not.
No. So you get relegated to the SEC and have a great year. All of a sudden, you're back in the NFL. I'm not sure I'm on board with this. Just put them on probation for a year. Do better. And if you don't do better than the next year, then, if you have a job and you're not doing your job, you either get fired or you get put on probation for 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever it may be.
Because I got news for you. The SEC's football has got a lot on it, too. Or the Big Ten's football has a lot on it, too, especially in this day and age with NILs.
So you get these three officials get relegated to the college ranks. Who are they going to be replaced by? Three officials from the college ranks.
True. Very true.
I hope they have a good year.
I hope they do, too. And they can. They've already said if they have a good year, they can get back to the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I hope they do. I hope for their sake they get back to the NFL. 1345, you hit it right on the nail. Hit the nail right on the head, I should say. Meteorology is the only job you can be completely wrong and still keep your job. But they are much better. The technology is much better. We love our local meteorologists.
Players rarely get relegated, do they? They might get dropped off the roster or traded.
Cut.
You have a bad year.
Practice squad.
Yeah.
Selling insurance or whatever the case may be. 319-366-1600. Freddie and Bernie playing from the tips against guys 40-plus years of age and younger. Very impressive, says 2846. You're darn right that's impressive. Very good job by Fred Couples and Bernhard Langer today. All right, Kevin Lehman, the coach, going to join us one more time coming up here after we get it to Mark in an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. They're open at 4 o'clock, and you can take a look at their entire menu. It is online at emilshideaway.com, a classic local American restaurant. And tell them hi from everybody at the Gym Class and KGYM.
Major League Baseball today, two finals. Cleveland defeated the White Sox 6-1. The Angels drilled the Rays 11-1. Three games in progress. Top of the ninth, one out. The Royals leading the Twins in Kansas City 3-2. The Rockies and Brewers tied in the sixth inning 1-1. Blue Jays and Red Sox just underway. Speaking of baseball, Cedar Rapidian Mitch Keller had a tremendous start for Pittsburgh yesterday, pitching 7 1/3 scoreless innings in the Pirates' extra inning win. Keller became the fastest Pirate pitcher ever to reach 700 career strikeouts. In Masters news, a legend captured some legends this morning. Baseball Hall of Famer Ken Griffey Jr. is a credentialed photographer for the tournament, and part of his assignment for Masters.com today was to record the ceremonial first tee shots of Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, and Tom Watson. In women's college basketball, former Ohio State All-Big Ten player Cody McMahon has found a new home. She entered the portal and will conclude her career at Ole Miss. Finally, according to beat writers, Wisconsin football players have been doing 42 push-ups at the end of every practice this spring. The Badgers are remembering their 42-10 loss to Iowa last year.
Singling out Iowa.
Iowa scored over 40 points four times last year. And one of the Badger players said, "When have you ever heard of Iowa scoring 40 points in a game?"
True.
It happened a couple times last year.
Remember when the White Sox were 2-3?
Yeah, you took a picture of it.
Yeah, they were in first place, along with the other four teams in the American League Central. Now they're 2-10. How about the LA Angels at 8-4? Might not stick, but they're off to a very good start. Cyclone Tim, can't wait for college basketball to do this. Watch Tim O'Neill do junior high games. Oh, man. Well, a lot of people were on Courtney Greene's case, and Courtney Greene's doing national semifinals. All right, one more time to talk college hoops with the coach, Kevin Lehman, when we return. You're listening to a Thursday edition of the Gym Class right here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. There's going to be a mix of sun and clouds for the afternoon and temperatures in the 50s with a bit of a breeze around the area. We'll then have the chance for some spotty showers or perhaps a stray thunderstorm after 3 p.m. The rain winds down later this evening. The clouds stick around tonight. Temperatures drop into the upper 30s. Tomorrow, we'll have some more sunshine and temperatures in the mid-50s. A little cool, but we'll make our way into the 60s on Saturday and 70s on Sunday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
At Old Town Construction, we're more than just builders. We're a family. Making friends, having fun, and giving back to our communities is our top priority. From first consultation to final nail, our team is dedicated to delivering top quality work with a personal touch. Home renovation, new build, or repair, we're here to ensure the job is done right. With Old Town Construction, you're not just getting a contractor, you're getting a partner who cares about your community. Let's build something great together. Visit OLDETownConstruction.com today.
Hey, ready to sweeten your game? Then it's time for Quick Stars Nature's Touch Ice Cream. Ooh, making moves like the starting lineup of a championship team. Whether you're gearing up for the big game, celebrating a win, or just looking for a sweet break in the action. With so many slam dunk flavors like chocolate, vanilla, cookies and cream, mint chocolate chip, and more. Get your hands on your winning Nature's Touch Ice Cream flavor today. Only at Quick Star.
The sports calendar is heating up, and with ESPN Bet Sportsbook, you can go from checking news to stats to placing bets in a couple of taps. Stream games, bet live, and get exclusive offers when you link your ESPN account. Right now, you can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet app and sign up with promo code USL to get started today. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
A Progressive Home and Auto Bundle can protect you round the clock, but we can't protect you from those painful moments in sports.
Why would we trade our best player?
Well, at least you got to watch him in person when he was here.
I named my only son after him.
So you'll always remember his name.
Yeah, but what do I do with this jersey?
Luckily, the company has a great return policy.
I wore it for 6 seasons.
Well, at least your home and auto are protected with a bundle from Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
From the Augusta National Golf Club, Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the Masters. I'm Ted Emmerich. The weather for the first round could be described in one word. Sunshine. It's sunshine. Just a perfect day. High in the mid-70s. Defending champion Scottie Scheffler, part of the morning wave. He shot a 4 under 68, but it was no breeze for him.
It definitely wasn't easy out there. The greens were starting to firm up. It's definitely going to be a firm Masters this year. And yeah, I thought I was playing pretty tough out there. Did a good job of managing my way around the course. Kept the card clean with no bogeys. And that making no bogeys around here, you're always going to have a pretty good score.
Scheffler with SiriusXM after his round. He's two off the lead. Justin Rose motoring out in front at 6 under. Just missed a downhill birdie putt from 5 feet at 13. Rose's lead is 2 over Corey Connors and Scheffler. You're listening to coverage of the 2025 Masters on Westwood One.
When I wake up, the best mornings
in the morning light,
start with Wrangler.
I pull on my jeans and I feel all right.
Jeans, jackets, and shirts that get your day started. Good mornings make for better days. Wrangler, for the ride of life.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When I wake up,
the best mornings
in the morning light,
start with Wrangler.
I pull on my jeans and I feel all right.
Jeans, jackets, and shirts that get your day started. Good mornings make for better days. Wrangler, for the ride of life.
Rory McIlroy off to the start he needs as he chases the only major title he hasn't won. 3 under through 10, and he saved his par there after putting his approach in the bunker right of the green. Rory splashed out to within a foot for a tap-in par. McIlroy 3 off the lead as we check the leaderboard. Sponsored by Wrangler. Shop Wrangler.com for new denim styles to kickstart your day. Wrangler for the ride of life. Justin Rose 6 under through 13. Corey Connors, Scottie Scheffler 4 under 68s today. McIlroy and Tyrrell Hatton both at 3 under, 3 back. Hatton in the clubhouse with his 69. Fred Couples turning back the hands of time with a 1 under 71, including an eagle from 191 yards at the par 4 14th. Couples at 65 years old, the second oldest player to break par at the Masters. Tom Watson was also 65, just a shade older, when he fired a 71 in 2015. Watson now one of the honorary starters with Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player. And Bernhard Langer at 67, a 2 over 74. This is his final Masters. From Augusta, I'm Ted Emmerich, Westwood 1.
3:38, back with you here on the Gym Class for a Thursday on 1600 ESPN. And we are happy one final time to bring you college basketball talk. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us courtesy of Chris Shooter Lehman at Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. EdgeRealtyGroup.com, that is their website. And not only handling Iowa City, but up and down the corridor as well. We've got a national champion, Kevin. The Florida Gators, after a very interesting and entertaining Monday night championship game. What'd you think about that?
Well, everyone liked Florida, you know, through February, but then Duke became the favorite once we got into the tournament. I think Florida out Houston in that championship game, forcing turnovers in the end, and great guard play is what did it for the Gators.
I think Houston was trying to win that game or just did not move the ball enough to even tie the game.
Yeah, most people are saying they're trying to get a three, but I think in that situation, Mark, you got to go downhill, try to create some contact or get some rotations. And as good as Houston is on the offensive glass, get the ball up on the rim and let their bigs tip it in. That's what they did the entire tournament.
Yep.
People talking about them trying to get a three ball there. I don't think that's really true. I think maybe Sharp was selling for one, but their bigs were so good on the offensive glass. You just tell your players, get it on the rim and we'll let our guys go get it back.
You mentioned Florida pulling a play out of the playbook defensively of Houston on that final, especially in that final possession that the Cougars had. And the perimeter defense throughout the game just got better and better. Florida's depth, I think, is what really took them to the national championship. They had a lot of talent. We know that. Will Richard was terrific after they really shut down Clayton, especially in the first half. Mm-hmm. Houston did. But I just thought the team with the most depth took home the national championship.
Well, Scott, I think we see it every year. We get into tournament time. Guards win, and we saw that again in this Florida-Houston game. Both of those teams loaded with great guards. Even, you know, Duke had great guard play. Walter Clayton, I had a feeling at halftime Florida was in good shape when Walter Clayton Jr. had not scored, and they were down, what, like two at that point, and they hadn't played very well. He thought, oh, they're in pretty good shape. That's what you're telling your team at halftime. Because, you know, you're not going to keep the wraps on Clayton. And how about Will Richard? Started his career at Belmont. In fact, those three guards for Florida were all mid-major transfers. Clayton from Iona, Martin from Florida Atlantic, and Will Richard from Belmont. That seems to be the new formula. Mid-major transfers, along with some freshmen and some older guys, is the new formula for winning national championships.
Kevin, I'm going to defer my time to Scott because I know he has a pressing question related to the championship game and the whole NCAA tournament, maybe.
Well, I think to the regular season as
I reserve
well.
My time, okay?
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. And you wanted, and you put on the notes today, Kevin, about officiating. You put down perimeter play as freedom of movement. Post play is a, quote, football line of scrimmage, unquote. And we had some people calling it basket brawl after watching the NCAA tournament on the text line. Have we gotten to the point of too much? I'm not going to say physicality because basketball is a physical sport. It is a contact sport. But you take it. Try to go through the middle during the NCAA tournament, especially as the tournament went on and less whistles were tooted. Man alive, you look like a pinball going through a pinball machine back in the 70s.
Well, you know, what they did about 3 or 4 years ago, they cleaned the game up, more advantages for offensive players. Freedom of movement was the big talk. But they've never cleaned up freedom of movement in the paint or in post play. And I've had, when you do Valley games on Sundays and sometimes midweek, you'll get the big-time officials that are coming from Big 12 games, and they'll tell you, boy, you know, I had like Kansas and, you know, so in Houston last night. He goes, and they tell you, when that ball goes up on the rim, there's like six guys going at it, and they're all got their hands above the rim. There's bodies flying around. He said, you can't see everything that's happening because there's so much activity on the offensive glass. And I think besides the one-on-one post play, when the ball goes in the rim, what happens is, like, you know, it's just short of a physical assault inside what you're doing to people. And if you, unless you hit somebody, you know, above the shoulders where it's going to be a flagrant one and they're going to go review it, about anything goes in that situation.
So the question becomes, Kevin, do we accept it or is there a remedy? I don't think anybody wants a free throw shooting contest like almost developed in that championship game, but where are we at with this?
Well, Mark, every year they start, we have all those officials meetings that we're in, and they talk about the new rules, and they're always talking about cleanup post play, and you'll see it called early in November, and then they just forget about it. And usually it's like, you know, the offensive guy can bang once, defense guy, and we're talking about one-on-one in the post, can respond. But when it happens the second time, early in the season, they're talking about blowing a whistle. You get late in the season, it's, you know, unless you put your shoulder down or put an elbow into somebody, they just let them go at it. And like I said, it's, you know, it's like a line of scrimmage in football. It's who is the most physical and who can survive. And now every coach has taught their defenders inside the arc, if you go up in the air, because if you stay on your feet inside the arc, it's going to be a block call. So everyone's instructed to come and challenge the ball, leave your feet, go vertical, and officials will tell you they let equal pressure happen. So if two bodies collide and it's equal pressure, that's a no call. I ask these officials all the time how they're going to whistle on this thing, and they tell you equal pressure, no call. If an offensive guy comes and sticks an arm out or shoulder, then it's going to be in the offense. If the defender takes up space and creates the contact, it's going to be on the defense. But they like to no call that collision quite often.
Hmm. Interesting. Very interesting right there. And before we leave this, I'll say, is it good or bad that basketball on the college level is kind of, it's migrating toward the NBA a little bit? Five guys on the three-point line, get down to 10 on the shot clock. Here comes the high pick and roll. Either shoot the three or you drop it off. Everyone's complaining about that in the NBA, but there was a ton of that in the NCAA tournament. So do we need to shrink the lane and get a little bit more of the mid-range jumper back and more post playback?
Well, you know what else you're seeing? That's much like the NBA. Scott is the one-on-one. Cooper flagged the last possession. They ice him on the side and let him back down. You've seen that all the time now in college basketball. Isolation plays, switches to get a mismatch. They go isolation, which is what the NBA has done for years and years and years. So I think, yeah, what we're seeing is more of the NBA influence on college basketball. And I don't think it's necessarily a good thing. I'll tell you, Elgin Miller told me this years ago. Remember the hash mark? He had 5 seconds to go across it. This is back in the 80s.
Yep.
And you could only hold, you had 5 seconds to hold the ball, 5 seconds to dribble, 5 seconds to pick it up. So you could only hold a ball for tops 15 seconds. They took that hash mark out, and Elgin Miller said to me, this will be the biggest change in college basketball, more so than the three-point shot. And I said, Coach, what are you talking about? He goes, you're going to recruit little guys, put in their hands, and let them dribble the entire shot clock. You're going to see ball screens. The motion game, the Dean Smith motion game will go away. And all that came to just what Coach Miller predicted.
Kevin, this went under the radar for some. I know not for you, but Drake has a new head coach. Tell us about him.
Well, he comes from the tree of Greg McDermott assistants, and he's got – look at what Max has turned out there. Ben Jacobson, Darren DeVries, K.J. Otzelberger, Steve Lutz at Oklahoma State, Alan Huss at High Point, Ryan Miller's taking the job at Murray State, and now you got Eric Henderson, who played for Mac at Wayne State. I recruited Eric a little bit when I was in Omaha, coached against him. This is a great hire. South Dakota State, he had tremendous success there. This is a high-energy guy with a smile on his face all the time. I think Drake's going to keep on rolling. And I was at the press conference. When I went to Darren DeVries' press conference, there was maybe 12 people there. This was a packed room. There were over 100 people in the Shivers basketball complex at Drake for this press conference. They are excited about basketball in the city of Des Moines.
I think with Eric Henderson, he's a Mac Valley guy. He's an Iowa guy. I think we're going to see him over in the Eastern and all through the state of Iowa a little bit more than what Drake has done in the past. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yes. Got big ties at Iowa. His staff, a lot of Iowa guys also. So I think you're going to see that continue. He's already signed one of the top players out of Omaha, and he's already been told by Greg McDermott that in 2 years he's going to be a Blue Jay. If you remember that, they've had a great success in South Dakota State. Shireman went to Creighton after 2 years there as player of the year in that Summit League. NBA guy now, who's the guard at Kansas, also came from South Dakota State. So they've been able to find talent. That's one of the things I asked in that press conference. Are you going to continue the same recruiting process where you're finding diamonds in the rough, but you may not be able to keep them for 4 years? And that's become, I think, the new mantra at most of these mid-majors. And you just look at what Florida's backcourt is. Like, they're all mid-major guys that transferred up.
Yeah, Kevin, McDermott's going to get out in a couple of years?
Oh, he always talks about it when he's upset with his administration. But here's what I heard. Mike Mahon, who knows a little bit of everything. The job McDermott wants is Arizona State. He's got property in Phoenix area. And I think he always talks about going to the Southwest if he were to retire. But I'm hearing that that's the job he wants.
Hmm, Interesting. Interesting. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us. Brought to you by Chris Lehman of Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. And on vacation right now on a beach listening. So I will pass the ball to you one final time this year. And that is from Shooter. What are your favorite Iowa players from each coaching regime for the Hawkeyes? Lute Olson, George Raveling, Tom Davis, Alford, Licklider, and McCaffrey.
I'm going back to Ralph Miller if I can, because that's when I
go
grew
ahead.
Up as a youngster. Fred Brown. I was like a seventh grader at the Iowa City Rec Center. I got to guard him in one game. I was about 120 pounds. That was the highlight of my junior high career, guarding Fred Brown. I used to tell everybody about it all the time. I guarded Fred. And like one possession, he didn't score on me because he didn't want to. But I think you go through that. He went by me so fast one time. Like I was still standing in my Converse canvases there on the free throw line. I think, if I think about the history of Iowa basketball, with Fred Brown and John Johnson or Ralph Miller era, Mark, you might remember this one. The first game I saw in the old Iowa Fieldhouse was Iowa against Bowling Green, and a guy named George Peoples was playing for the Hawks.
Yeah, I'm old enough to have covered a game in the old Iowa Fieldhouse. That Miller six-pack, come on, Ben McGilmer was the dude.
Yeah. And his wife taught Spanish at Regina High School when I was out there as a sophomore.
Wow.
That's a way back machine there. When I think of Lute's teams, Ronnie Lester, I think Ronnie Lester was the best to ever play and wear a Hawkeye uniform.
A lot of people would agree with that.
Yep. He wouldn't hurt the knee. They'd be national champs. And when I think of George Raveling, I think of the Twin Towers. Remember that? Greg Stokes, Michael Payne. And it wasn't Raveling ahead of his time because he used to have those guys break the press. Everybody complained, why do you got your 6'10 guys breaking the press? Now everybody uses their post guys to break the press. And, correct?
Correct. Or if they get the ball in.
Yeah, they get the ball in. Now, that's the most underrated thing that we see in college basketball. You got to be able to inbound the ball cleanly, late clock, shot clock situations, whether you're on offense or you're trying to steal it. We've seen that. And with Dr. Tom, that's some great ones, man. BJ, Jess Settles, Ryan Bowen, Matt Boyd, go through Roy Marble. But I think when you talk Dr. Tom, you got to talk about Chris Street, the greatest Hawkeye of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, good answers. Yeah. Good answers right there. Now, 19.
I say Alford.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Alford, I'm thinking Dean Oliver. Alford, I don't know. Did Alford recruit him? Was he a leftover from Dr. Tom?
I'd have to go back and look. I would have to go back and do the math. So, but a crossover.
With Todd Licklider, I want to say Little Lick, but I'm gonna defer to Matt Gaines on that one. And here's one I think you guys will like: Fran McCaffrey. When I think of Fran, I think of Aaron White because he was the first guy he brought in, unheralded recruit. Turned to a Big Ten player, top of the press, disruptive. So when I think of what Fran's ability to find guys on the radar, it always started with Aaron White. Of course, you got Chris and Keegan. You got Luca Garza. But I always think of Aaron White when I think of Fran's teams.
Good player. 1979 says they believe Huss might be the guy at Creighton who's waiting.
He's had a great run at High Point. Mm-hmm. His name was kicked around a lot for some big jobs this year. Yeah. Another guy I recruited, North Kansas City kid, I recruited Huss a little bit when I was at UNI.
Yeah. All right.
Another one I didn't get.
Who's that?
Another recruit.
Oh, I thought you had another guy you were going to name. That was just another guy you didn't get to on your team.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Hey. If it was now, you could just bring the checkbook with you, man.
Yeah, I don't think that one we had at Northern Iowa was that thick. I remember asking Elvin Miller, I said, Coach, we had a $15,000 recruiting budget. We used to laugh because we beat Rudy Washington at Drake, and they had like $90,000. And you bring guys from California, and we'd the guys he flew over to get those guys, the guys we'd beat him with, the Cam Johnsons of the world. But I asked Elvin Miller one time, I said, what was your recruiting budget at Ohio State? He looked at me and said, what? I said, Coach, what was your recruiting budget for the Buckeyes? He goes, didn't have one. Spent wherever we wanted.
Whatever you wanted. Hey, Kevin, we'll catch up periodically during the off season, but always want to thank you for coming on with us on Thursdays. Thanks to Chris as well for his sponsorship, and we look forward to doing it again next basketball season.
Yeah, big shout-out to Shooter. Thanks for sponsoring. And you guys, it's always been a pleasure. And I guess we got to put a bow on it and get our golf clubs out.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Take a break. Come back at Bowling Night in America wrap-up after this.
Okay, on the grass, but out of the street. Perfect.
Why are you raking your leaves to the curb?
It's spring leaf time, so the city of Cedar Rapids leaf vacuum will be around.
Leaves just go in your yardy cart, don't they?
You can, but this time of year, you can also rake them in a long row on the grass beside the street, and the vacuum truck will pick them all up.
I don't have time to rake right now.
That's okay. They'll be picking up through April 24th. You've got time.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from crnewsnow.com.
Sign up for CR News Now or go to the city website for more info.
Compost is great for your garden and a fantastic way to give your lawn a healthy lift. And it's free at the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. You can also use compost around trees and shrubs and cover them with a layer of wood chips, which are also free at the Solid Waste Agency. Get your yard and garden in shape. If you're a Linn County resident, pick up free compost and wood chips at the Solid Waste Agency location next to Mount Trashmore. Get ours and all the details at solidwasteagency.org.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. And it was a Bowling Night in America last night, and a recap brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. A final regular season one, if you will, and a successful one.
It was a little too late for the Rusty Nails, but nevertheless, a 20-10 win. Very good night. All five bowlers had 600 series or better, led by Scott Unash, 677. Nice bowling, Scott.
Thank you.
Top 10 score last night. Where you been all year?
I don't know.
Brian Moore hasn't gone away. He had a 278, 771 to sweep honors last night.
Good job, Buzz. Yeah. And next week we will have the position night for the second half of the season. We go up against, of course, the first half champions with our friends from Duraline Scale. And then I have no idea how they come up with the matchups in 2 weeks. That's not my thing I have to worry about.
The end is near, though.
The end is near. Next week, the penultimate night of Bowling Night in America. And how do you get a hold of the good folks at May City?
You can give them a call, 362-0136, or visit the website maycitybowlcr.com.
All right, stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next. We got NBA basketball coming up tonight for you right here on 1600 ESPN. See you tomorrow, Mark.
Talk then.
You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN.
When I wake up,
the best mornings
in the morning light
start with Wrangler.
I pull on my